the young people put together this CD. It's called Face to Face with Truth. They got songs that they wrote themselves, and they sung them. They performed. They not performed. We don't believe in performing. We worship God. And then there's some Caribbean songs on here, so you know what it's like in the Caribbean. Amen. But whatever we do to the glory of God. And they will be for sale in the back at the end of service. So if you want to help support the youth, amen. I'm going to talk more about the youth tonight. I'm going to show you our youth video tonight and what God's doing with the youth. Amen. But this morning, as long as you're standing, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Genesis chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 17 through 19. A very powerful statement here was made by the Almighty himself. And I would that God would say it of us here today. Let's read together verse 17 of chapter 18. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justly and judgment. And then this is the promise, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Pastor, would you pray? Amen. You may be seated. In this short few scriptures, the Lord speaks of Abraham in such a way that he says, I know the man, and I know that he will train his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord. We're going to talk what it takes to keep the way of the Lord, but understand that God knew, he had faith, he had trust in this man called Abraham, that he would do what he has called him to do. All we can do as parents and as teachers and mentors and adults is to give what we have to those that we are trying to teach or to train or to raise up. But they have to catch it. They have to get it for themselves. In James chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible talks about, verses 1 through 12 talks about the tongue and who can tame the tongue. But James makes a statement here. He says, for every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But he goes on to say, you know, but nobody can tame the tongue, or nobody can really break the spirit of a man. See, God gave mankind dominion over all those things, the beasts and the birds and the serpents and the things in the sea. He said, have dominion over them. And we can tame them. We can train them to do all kinds of things. But a man, we can do nothing with. We can share with them. We can show them. But truly, we cannot, because man have been given a free will. And even God himself will not interfere with that will. Because if he could, he would have us all in heaven. But he says, the only ones that are going to be there are those that love me of their own choice, because they want to be here. So nobody can force anyone to serve God. And Satan can't keep you from God, because if he could, he would have us all killed right now. He'd just take us all out. But he can do nothing unless God allows it. And God will never tempt us more what we can bear. So in that thought that we have a free will to do, how is it then that we can tame this man when you call Jesus Lord, like Thomas when he said, my Lord and my God? What was he saying? He was saying, Jesus, no longer am I in control of my life. Whatever you will is fine by me. I've tried to run my life by myself and I've made a mess of it. So I give you my life. You can't say Lord unless you totally submit to the will of God. He cannot be Lord of your life until you totally surrender yourself to him and just allow him to do whatever he wants. But he only has good things in thought in mind for you. I want you just to listen to these verses. This is how we are broken in God. Mark 1 and 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. What? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance is a turning around, because from the time we were born until as we grow, we walk farther and farther and farther away from God until we decide to turn around and come back to where we should be from the beginning. And he goes on to say in Luke 13 and 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise. Come on. So what do you got to do? And then you won't. But if you don't repent, you're gonna. And this isn't a one-time event. Yeah, Peter said repent and be baptized. But it needs to be a daily thing. I live for God 24/7, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, every day, every day. You got to understand, any of you ever drive to work and somebody cuts you off or did this or did that, and you had some choice words for them? Uh-huh. Drive in Antigua for a while. You'll be praying all the time. Let me tell you. But if you forget about what you were saying when they cut you off or did whatever, and you just go about your day, he keeps track. And we kind of forget about it. Oh, I'm baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, living for God. But you got junk in your life. And this repentance thing, this Lord thing, if I'm going to make him true Lord of my life, this has got to be an everyday deal. Lord, I don't remember everything I might have done that might not be pleasing to you, but help me to do that which is right so I can be right in your eyes. Acts 17 and 30. And the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth some men, all men everywhere to repent. If this was just a one-time deal, he wouldn't keep talking about it over and over and over again. Acts 26 and 20. Look at this. But showing first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea. And then, thank you, Jesus, to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to and do meet for repentance. We talked about Abraham in his training his children and his household. But all we can do is train them and teach them. It's not until you get an experience with God, when you get something of your own, that's going to make it stick. If you're here just because somebody invited you, and you don't get nothing when you come to the altar, you're going to leave the same way you come. But God has got something for you here today. But you got to get it for yourself. Because if you're just coming here because somebody asked, your mom made you, or dad made you, or, you know, you were invited by a friend, or you made a deal, you come to my church, I'll go to your church, whatever, whatever. If you don't get an experience with Almighty God, you're not going to stick. You're not going to turn around. Repentance means turning around. You got to get that for yourself. And Isaac, he had to get it for himself. We're going to read another scripture here soon in Genesis 22. But we all think it was a test of Abraham. And it was. But it was also a test of Isaac. And if he wouldn't have had this, you're my Lord, he wouldn't have hung out with dad. He would have took off running. So we got to get it ourselves. We can invest in people, and that's where we need to invest. But we got to make sure that we let them know that you got to get a hold of something all by yourself. If it's going to be real, it's because you got a hold of it. In, remember when the Bible says, go there, Matthew 22 and 33. Excuse me, 22 and 32. You must have a change of heart and be led by the Holy Ghost. Here in Matthew 22 and 32, it says, I am the God of, and the God of all. Not daddy. Isaac had his own God. It was the same God, but it was his God. You hear what I'm saying? It ain't the God of my daddy. It's my God. My God. And then it goes on to say, and the God of, oh, it didn't stop, did it? It went from the God of Abraham to the God of Isaac to the God of Jacob. And we all know the story of Jacob, man. He had to wrestle with the angel and get some things settled before he went to see his brother. Amen? And then it just gets better. Amen? It says, God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. So if you don't have this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be your God, you're serving something that's dead. Dead, 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 dead. He, Jehovah, Jesus, whatever you want to call him, has got to become your God. Until he becomes your God and you are willing to say, you are Lord of my life. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, however it is, I will walk in that way. This church have blessed us for the last 15 years. They have supported us every month as we've been on the field. As Pastor said, we decided not to do the garden shows this year. You got to understand something about me. I'm a worker. And I don't like asking for handouts. And I have a hard time just depending upon you all. Because I'm not a beggar. And I'm not begging. And you give freely. But it's just something about, I got to trust God. I got to wait on God. I got to believe God that he is going to take care of our needs. But man got this problem with being in control. I want to be in control. I want to know what's happening. I want to make sure that I can do it. And not just wait. But Abraham, man, he learned what repentance was all about. He learned what it took to wait upon God. The Lord told him, Abraham, just start walking. Where am I going? Just start walking. He had to trust him to the uttermost. He had to become totally Lord of his life. And in Isaac, the same. Because this next little part of that we're going to read, Genesis 22, starting with verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, the servants, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad, that was Isaac, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his daddy, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? This ain't the first time daddy and Isaac went to do worship. This was a normal thing for Abraham and Isaac to do. But Isaac's starting to see something. Where's the lamb? But dad's next words. And Abraham said, my son, God, my God, your God, will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Abraham was around 120 to 130 years old. Isaac was 20 to 30. Now, I don't know about you, but they built this altar together. They laid the wood on it together. And then all of a sudden, dad said, son, let me tie your hands. You're the sacrifice. If Isaac didn't have God for his God, you couldn't have catched him. He would have went, poof. And that 120 to 30-year-old man would have been going, wait, wait, wait. But Isaac not only believed in his dad and in the God of his dad, but he had God as his Lord. And it said he was on the altar, and dad picked up the knife ready to put it in. But he heard his dad say, I and the lad will return. We're going yonder to worship, but we're coming back. So that's all he needed to hear. He didn't know how it was going to take place, and that's the deal here. I don't know how we're going to get all our funds raised, but I know they will get raised because God is able. His arm is not short. His ear is not deaf. I've seen too many things happen. As we've gone on the streets, we've prayed for people. God healed this one lady's back. And then God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Right by the bus stop. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of people walking back and forth, back and forth. And you know how some people get nervous when you're praying for them. And all these people are walking by. This guy comes riding up on a young man on a 10-speed. He says, what's going on? He said, well, she needed healing in her back and God healed her. And then he filled her with the Holy Ghost. He says, well, let's do it. I want it too. So right there on the bike, he lifted up his hands. We repented, and he lifted up his hand. He got the Holy Ghost right there at the bus stop. That's the kind of God I serve. He's a God of the living. And we all know, no deposit, no return. If you don't put nothing in the bank, you ain't getting nothing out. But when you invest yourself in that book, and the people of the book, you're going to get something out. Jesus himself chose 12 men. And he mentored those men. He trained them up because he knew there was going to come a day when he was no longer going to be with them physically, but in spirit through the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. But he trained them. He mentored them. He said, this is what I want you to do. And that's what they did, because they obeyed the voice of God. They understood that if this is what the Lord wants me to do, this is what we'll do. You got to understand, some of those people you've seen up there that go on the street, when you see them in church, man, they'll worship God and love God, but they don't talk to nobody. They're quiet, they're timid. They're just shy. But you get them out on the street with a Bible study, and whoo! They just, Tiffany, she's just this little girl. But man, you get her on the street teaching, but you see her in church, she just sit there and just kind of, she just worships a little bit, but she don't get involved with nobody. Shamari, he's one of our twin towers. Nick and Shamari, they're really tall. We call them the twin towers. Shamari is quiet. But he prays, he seeks God's face, he loves God. And we were out 2 weeks ago on Saturday. I was with Dylan and Shamari. And all of a sudden, this young man comes out to the gate. We're calling at the gate. And Shamari, who's kind of quiet, he went to school with that boy, says, "This one's mine. This one's mine." And he just started teaching the Bible study right there. And he did it with force and with anointing and with trying to get the word. Anyway, he was just doing it. And it got all done and we began to pray with them. They let us in the gate when we began to pray. But when we started to pray, mom swings the door and goes, "No, no, 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 no." She says, "If you're going to pray, get in here and pray for us all." So we went in the house and we prayed for mom and we prayed for little sis. We prayed for brother and little brother. Now, they ain't been in church yet, but they're going to be. Because they felt something. They knew what we were telling them. There was something to it. It's real. And that's what Jesus did. Do you all think you ought to listen to your mama? Don't mama usually give good advice? Of all the mamas in the world, don't you think you should listen to the mama of Jesus? I want to get anonymous, or however you say that. Don't you think you ought to listen to mama? Don't you think that the best mama to listen to is the mother of Jesus? One last scripture, and then we're going to pray. John chapter 2, verse 5. Y'all know it. It's at the wedding feast. But there was a simple statement that she made. This is what mama said. His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatever he saith unto you," come on. What? I can't hear you. Whatever that book says, mama says, do it. Whatever he saith unto you, do it. If you're to be born again, you need to be born again of water and of spirit. And the only way to be born of water is when you go down in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak with other tongues. It's amazing, Pastor. We had this one lady come up. She needed healing. And we said, "You need healing? We're going to pray for your healing, but God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost." "I don't want the Holy Ghost." "Nope, don't. Just pray for my healing." She says, "Okay, we're going to pray for your healing, but God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost." We start praying for her, and all of a sudden, she just starts talking in tongues. She goes, "What is that?" I said, "That's the Holy Ghost." Here's a lady who didn't even want the Holy Ghost. God filled her with the Holy Ghost, and he healed her body. That's the kind of God we serve. It was amazing. She didn't want the Holy Ghost, and God fills her, and she's just like, "What is this?" And it's just like, and the one lady we prayed for on the street, when God filled her with the Holy Ghost, she's shaking, and it's like, "What is that?" It's like, "That's the Holy Ghost." It's like, wow. Woo. Church, we serve an awesome God. And what he did for them back there, he will do for us today. But we're supposed to take to the streets, to the highways and the byways, and compel them to come in. Don't be afraid to pray for people. Amen? And Benjamin, he just taught me this. And he, when he was out in Ohio, one of the pastors he was with, when they went out to eat, and the server came up, and they had their food there. She brought it out to him. And they go, whatever her name was, just say her name, Shirley. "Shirley, I hope you don't mind, but when we get our food, we pray for it and ask the Lord's blessing upon it. But we want to pray for you. And what is it that we could pray for you?" And all the people that we've ever done that to, they's like, "You want to pray for me?" "Yeah, I want to pray for you." And you wouldn't believe, man, some people on low, "Well, my mom's got cancer and this and that." And all of a sudden their countenance changes. And it's just something simple. But you're reaching out to them saying, "I want to pray for you." And when we go out on Saturdays and we teach our Bible study, we never leave without praying. And it's so funny because people say, "You want to pray for me?" I say, "Yeah, we want to pray for you. What is it that you need the Lord to do for you? We're concerned about you." and we pray for them. And it's so funny, Stanley. We were praying for Stanley, just a short little guy. And we're on the street. He's just looking around, seeing who's watching Stanley. And we're just saying, Stanley, just close your eyes and think on God. Amen. Stanley's come. We've baptized Stanley. He still needs the Holy Ghost. But it's so neat to pray for people on the street. Amen. To touch people where they live. And not everybody you talk to is going to receive you. Some will chase you off. Some will get in your face and get really nasty. But you just thank the Lord. And you leave them with the Bible study. And you leave them with the word of prayer. Even if they don't want you to pray for them. You just pray anyway. Lord, touch their heart. Touch their house. Keep them. Amen. I said enough. I want to open up this altar. But I want to pray that you guys would get a holy boldness like never before. That you would believe the word of God and do like Mama said. Just do it. Whatever he says to do, do it. If you need the Holy Ghost, he'll fill you. You need healing, he'll heal you. You need your sins washed away, there's a tank right back there. If we could pile up all the sins that have been washed away in that tank, man. Whoa. See, you can repent and God forgives you. And we all have to repent. But it's not until you're baptized and your sins are washed away. If you've never been baptized in that lovely and precious name of Jesus, you need to really not leave this place until you're baptized. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, you just need to believe God, lift your hands, and begin to worship.
Yes.
And as you worship, you'll feel the warm presence of God come upon you. And you'll begin to speak in another language that you've never spoken. You'll be speaking. He ain't going to yank your tongue. And God will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you'll feel so clean, so pure, so blessed. And all you'll have to do is just want to tell everybody what Jesus has done for me. Let's come and pray, church. We got enough room here. We all need to come. And if there's somebody still sitting back there and you're a regular person here, you need to sit next to them and pray with them. Amen. Some people are a little bashful, but God has something. It don't matter where you're at. And let us pray one for another. Let us seek God's face.